for us. Heavenly Father, oh man, it is exciting to be here today. And God, if we have not already heard from you this morning, God, we want to hear from you today. For some of us, it may not be something audible. It may be more something intelligible than audible, God. But we want to hear you call us into adventure, to call us out of the same old, to call us out of the mediocre place into something new. Because God, you're a God of the new. And so I just pray, God, that there's going to be some changing that begins today. I pray, God, that spiritually there's going to be some changing. Maybe relationally there's going to be some changing. Maybe, God, in our connection with you and the way that we connect with you, we're going to go to an entirely new place. And we just pray that happens as we begin this thing called the Brave Journey. And so, God, I just pray these next few moments that you'd help my words to be in alignment with your heart. And God, I just pray all these things according to the identity and the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, let's give these guys a hand up here. Man, they led us really, really well today. And before you grab a seat, just turn to somebody near you and tell them your name, how long you've been at Crosspoint, whether it be a week or 10 years. Just say, hey, I'm so-and-so, how long? How long you been here? Go ahead, just turn to somebody and ask them. All right. Well, hey, it is great to see everybody here with us this morning. My name's Kurt. You can go ahead and grab a seat if you haven't done so already. And I want to make sure we know what we're doing today. Today we start one of the most important things we do here at Crosspoint all year. It's called an all-church journey, and we do a deep dive on a topic that we just feel we all need to grow in and that we need to grow through. And as we dive into this, you know, we really do a multi-pronged approach where, you know, all the way from what's happening in our kids' environments today, there's some of the same things you're experiencing in here. They're tackling some of the same themes in Crosspoint Student Ministry, CSM, tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock. They're going to be diving into the Brave theme as well. We're going to be giving you some homework, some work to do during the week in the Crosspoint app or online. We're making it really easy to get into a small group. We'll talk a little bit more about that today. And then in a couple weeks, we're going to have something called the Brave Prayer Experience. And this is going to be just an amazing multi-sensory kind of experience where you go through it, and it will really help you move the needle on this thing that God may be calling you to. And we do all of this stuff so that we can center down on this one thing that we really feel like God wants to take us to, this new place, this new relationship, maybe something in my career, or you know, moving out of an addiction, whatever it might be. And this year, the topic that we're diving into is the theme of bravery. Now, if you've been here for a little more than a year, you might be going, well, wait a minute, Kurt, didn't we do bravery last year? Didn't we do that? Yeah, we did. We did, actually. You're spot on. We're bringing some new things to it. I'm bringing some new teachings. And we're also going to be, you know, tapping into some of the key things that made last year's experience really, really good. And it's not that we just want to redo something. We've actually put a lot of creativity into this. We're just doing it over because you didn't get brave enough, all right? You didn't get brave enough. We want to get you braver as we pursue the things that God is calling us to. You know, whatever it is in your life, whatever area you are kind of feeling nudged to grow in, to grow closer and closer to God in, or somebody else in, or in purpose in your life, whatever it might be, as you go through, you know, these next few days, that very first step that you take is going to require bravery. And you know, because we're going to get out of the same old, same old. For those of us that really engage, we're going to get out of mediocrity. We're going to get out of, you know, the 50 percentile, the middle of the road. We're going to take a step into something new. And when we take that step, it's going to require some bravery to step into something you've never experienced before. So today, we're going to take a look at a story. I'm pretty excited about the story. It's one of the first Bible stories that really became alive for me. Out of the Bible, I grew up going to church. My parents made me go to Sunday school, so I had a lot of like head knowledge. But this story rocked my world one night when I was at a CSM, a student ministry pool party, and we were talking about this story, and I was brought on stage to, you know, actually on the pool deck to kind of illustrate it, and, you know, the guy teaching, like, brought me up, and he put me right next to the pool, like, fully clothed, and he said, you know, just like Peter, you know, Kurt's going to walk on water, and he shoved me in, like, fully clothed, and of course, I was trying to impress a girl that night, you know, so I come out of the water, like, smoking hot and wet. You know, it worked really well. But nonetheless, you know, all of a sudden I realized, like, I couldn't walk on that water. But in this story, Peter actually walks on water. So this is a story we're going to look at today, Peter walking on the water. And the first thing I want us to see, it's a story of bravery, is that bravery is linked to adventure. All right, bravery is linked to adventure. See, God, I don't know if you think of God this way, God is a God of adventure. Right, you may think of God as a ho-hum God who's always doing the same thing. No, God is always calling us to something new. I mean, God is never in the place of safety. God's always calling us to something that requires risk and bravery. In fact, take a look at what Eileen Guder says. She says, you can live on bland food so as to avoid an ulcer, drink no tea, coffee, or other stimulants in the name of health, go to bed early, stay away from nightlife, avoid all controversial subjects so as to never give offense, mind your own business, avoid involvement in other people's problems, spend money only on necessities and save all you can, and you can still break your neck in the bathtub and it will serve you right. I mean, we do all these things for safety, and God actually is calling us out to adventure, right? He's not calling us to the same old, same old. He has a new place that he wants you to go. And so God's main point in the whole Bible isn't to call you to, like, follow the Ten Commandments, all right? I mean, if you're doing that, cool, keep doing it. It's not a bad thing. His primary goal for you is not to just, like, hunker down in the same place and to be a nicer and nicer person. God actually wants to call you into adventure, to call you to risk a step into something new where you're going to have to depend on him in order for that thing to happen. And so we're gonna look at what it means to be called to adventure, and this story really illustrates this for me, in my life at least. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 14, and this is verse 25 and following. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. This is Jesus. He's coming to them. Jesus is kind of coming out to where the 12 disciples are, and he's walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. Look at that phrase. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. You know, the heart in the ancient world was known as kind of the center of our being. It was the source of passion. It was a source of engagement. It was a source of, you know, everything I'm processing. And so, you know, basically what Jesus is saying right here is you've lost your center. He's saying to them, you've lost your heart. Maybe some of us feel that way this morning. We feel like life's just gotten way too hectic. You know, we've kind of lost our way. We've lost our sense of, like, focus or direction or purpose or whatever it is. We're feeling a bit confused. Jesus just wants to say to you today, hey, I'm here. I'm here. Take heart. Do not be afraid. I'm right here. Now, when we look at this story, you know, there's a number of different lenses through which we can look at the Bible. In fact, the Bible sometimes gets accused of being contradictory of itself. One of the reasons that it sometimes gets deemed that way is because there's different perspectives that we see in the Bible. On the same story, in fact. In fact, in this story, we have different writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four authorized biographers of Jesus' life. They're watching Jesus, writing down what they're seeing, giving a firsthand account of the very things they see, and sometimes the details of what each of them are seeing, you know, based on being in a different place in the crowd are the same. Sometimes the details are a bit different. So it's good to look at the different versions to see, you know, kind of where they line up and where they don't, the different perspectives. So I want to take a look at Mark's perspective for a moment. I want to read you a line out of this because this is fascinating. There's a little detail that Mark gives. He says, it was about the fourth watch of the night and he came to them. That's all identical, right? We've already read that part. Walking on the sea, he meant to pass them by. What does it mean when he says right there, he meant to pass them by? So Jesus came to this place out on the water because he saw Peter and the disciples were in some trouble, and he was looking for an interaction, maybe an altercation, depending on how you view Jesus. You think he's coming for an altercation or an interaction. And it says he meant to pass them by. All right, so we have to figure out, what does this mean? We have to do a little work, right? We have to dig in. And there's a number of things. I mean, we can use our imagination that could have been intended by this. All right, let me give you a couple options I've thought of, or some combination of these. The first option I really like, because you know when you see Jesus and you're like, oh, Jesus is just like me. It makes you kind of like me, like, oh, yeah, he's a normal guy. Well, that's why I like the first option. I think maybe he wanted to freak him out. That's why he meant to pass them by. He's going to do like a little scare tactic on them, you know, a little Halloween, get a little joy out of seeing them totally freaked out. It's like he's like, hey, guys. He's like moonwalking. Hey, you know, and they're going to be like, wow, what are you doing? And, you know, maybe that's what it meant when it said he meant to pass them by. I'll never forget as a kid, my dad and I, we used to go hunting. And the one rule, I mean, the number of rules on hunting in our house, but the first one was whatever you killed, you ate. And so I remember as a kid, my dad teaching me how to skin rabbits and squirrels. And squirrels were fun because you just like slit their wrists and, you know, their neck and pulled the body cavity out of the fur, their skin. And it was really cool because then you could take the skin and put it over your hand like a puppet, you know, and your fingers would be like in their paws. And I'd go into my mom and I'd be like, hey, Mom. And she'd be like, oh, stop it, you know. And then we'd go to my little brother who had like tons of anxiety issues. And we'd be like, Andy, squirrel's gonna be in your bed tonight. And he'd be like, stop it. Yeah, I don't know. That was like so much fun, right? I don't know if Jesus like had that level of fun, if he was like doing pranks like that. I don't know if he was having fun here. That's one option. He was trying to freak him out. Another option is maybe he was looking to see if they would notice him and call out to him. Maybe he's wanting to just pass them by and see if they'd actually engage him. They would actually call out and try to begin an interaction. See, for some of us here today, maybe you've not been in church for a while and you're like, man, I'm here for the first time. And one of the reasons you've not been in church is because you just feel like God is absent. You're like, man, God's just absent. It's almost like God has given up on me. And you've just not been sensing him. Maybe there's problems that you've just asked God to solve in your life. And, you know, there's some issue that you just feel like God's not been handling. You know, you're like, man, if God really is love, then he would take care of this issue for me. He'd do the loving thing of taking this pain out of my life. And or this problem or whatever it is. And you're just sitting there. You're not doing anything. You're not taking a step. You're just sitting there waiting on God. And you know, when we have pain, I mean, it's a very reasonable thing to question, okay, God, where are you in this? But I don't know if you've ever considered, like, what it would look like if Jesus came to, like, the Indianapolis area, the greater area in the flesh. You know, what he'd be doing. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Let me tell you what. He would not beeline to the hospitals and just start healing people. Right? He wouldn't. And the reason we know that is because he didn't do that when he was on the earth. Right? Sometimes we think, oh, Jesus, just be healing everybody. No, he's not like a one-man vigilante that's just out trying to stop everybody's problems. He's not doing that. In fact, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four authorized biographers of Jesus' life, read the first four books of the New Testament. If you do a count, I counted 41. You can go see if you count 41. 41 times Jesus heals somebody. And yet 34 of those 41 times, Jesus didn't initiate it. He wasn't looking out, oh, who can I heal today? No, somebody else came to him or was brought to him, and they asked him to do a healing. Right? Of the seven times that Jesus actually looked and said, hey, I'm going to bring healing to you right here, they actually had to go do something. They had to go like wash in the river or in the tub or whatever. You know, and so over and over and over again, we see in the Bible, if you want more of God in your life, you've got to get involved in God's life. If you want more and more growth in your life, if you want more and more something different, a new place, something that you're currently not experiencing, you want to get to a new place, you've got to say, what am I doing to go after it? I think God's up there going, who wants it? Who wants it? Who's being aggressive and assertive? Because whoever's taking that step, I'm going to get behind them. See, the thing about bravery is the first step into something new, out of what we currently know, the first step is always the hardest. It's always the brave step. Because see, when we take that first step, we're stepping into something we've never experienced before. And there's not blessing that comes with the first step either, right? We're not getting the joy of that new place yet, right? But that first step out of the same old, or out of the place where everybody else is, where I'm saying, I want to be different, it's always a brave step. So Peter sees Jesus passing by the boat, and he says something to him. In fact, here's what it says in verse 28. It says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now, I'm pretty certain Peter's there like, Jesus, a lot of fog, a lot of sea mist in my face. Is that you out there, Jesus? I can't see you. I don't know if that's you, but Jesus, it sounds like you. If that's you, I want some validation, Jesus. I want you to invite me to come out to where you are. And Jesus says, come. Now, what's the boat in this story? I mean, what does the boat mean? Now, the boat, see, the boat is the place of comfort, right? I mean, the boat's the same old, same old. The boat is the place of safety. I mean, that's the place when I'm on the water, I want to be in the boat, right? I mean, the boat is the 50th percentile. It's where everybody is. And so, you know, we have to think, what is that place where I'm just constantly reverting to safety? John Ortberg, who's one of my favorite authors, he wrote a book on this. It's called, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. And he kind of teases this out a little bit. And he talks about how the boat is a place of comfort and safety. It's a place that it's security for us, right? And he goes on this little riff where he talks about, he says, hey, what's America's favorite chair? Anybody know? What's America's favorite chair? Yeah, the lazy boy, right? Everybody likes the lazy boy. I sit back, I'm like, oh, yeah. Get my lazy boy. I'm in the place of mediocrity, the place of sereneness. Get my lazy boy. Everything's calm, serene, quiet, comfortable. Everybody likes a lazy boy, right? You know, why did they call it the lazy boy? You ever think about that? Because if they called it the risky boy, nobody'd buy it, right? Oh, risky boy. Or the adventurer boy chair. Oh man, I want to be in the adventurer boy. I want sereneness. See, here's the thing. The reason we don't have more growth in our life, the reason we don't see more change in our life, in our finances, our economics, our purpose, our occupation, our relationships, whatever it is because we don't want to change. We like the comfort of the lazy boy. And the first step, when we take the first step into that next new thing, it always gets worse. It always gets worse. You know, over the years, I've talked to a lot of people. I mean, whether it be in counseling or, you know, just some of my friends or people I run into on the street. And it's always interesting when I hear challenges that people are going through. You know, dealing with this or there's a barrier they've come up to in their life and they just can't break through, experiencing a lot of resistance. And so often when I'm listening to them, it becomes very clear to me what they need to do, partly because I'm objective and I'm kind of like not emotionally engaged. And at some point, I usually just say, hey, if you want that, here's what you're going to have to do. And you're just like, oh, I don't want to do that. I know this. I call it the dirty diaper syndrome. You know the dirty diaper syndrome? It's like, well, I made it. It's warm. It stinks and it's steamy. But it's mine and I know it and I think I'll keep it if you don't mind, right? So we just sit in the dirty diaper. We just sit in it because we made it and it's mine. You know, we got to choose to get out of that. But the first step is always difficult and the blessings don't necessarily come right away. You know, like if you say, you know, I want more resources to manage in my life. Well, you got three options. You can either, you know, work more hours, or you can cut your expenses or you need to get a different job, right? Those are the options. Oh, no, man, I want to do exactly what I'm doing. I just want more. All right, well, you got to cut expenses. Well, I don't want to cut expenses. All right, I mean, you got to do something. Or, you know, maybe, you're just like, I'm just not feeling God in my life right now. I mean, God and I are connected. I know I'm in a relationship, but I just feel a distance. And usually when I hear these words, I'll say, well, you know, maybe there's some sin. I don't know what it is, but maybe there's some sin that you're not acknowledging in your life that's kind of creating a barrier between you and God. You need to address that. Or maybe you really just want to be married. You're single, and you've been living with the same guy for like 2.5 years, and he has no intention of marrying you. You're going to have to step out of that relationship. All right, see, the first step is always so hard because we don't get the benefits of what we eventually are going to get into. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But see, that the first step is always worse. And you know what we do? Here's what we say. I hear this all the time. Somebody will say to me, they'll look at that and they'll go, well, but Kurt, doesn't God just want me to be happy? I mean, doesn't he just want me to be happy? I mean, if I take that step, if I get out of this relationship, even though I know it's not leading to marriage, man, I'm going to be so sad. Doesn't God just want me to be happy? Of course, I'll just say, no, he doesn't want you to be happy. All right, no, he doesn't want that. I mean, yeah, sorry to burst your bubble. Some of you are like, bummer, man, God doesn't want me to be happy. He does, but it's not his main thing. All right, his plans and purposes don't revolve around your happiness, in case you haven't figured that out. That may be a byproduct, but that's not the main thing. And so the thing God wants for you isn't necessarily for you to always just be serene and comfortable and happy. He actually wants you to be holy. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be holy? Well, holiness doesn't mean you're like, you know, being morally stringent or always morally pure. I mean, that's not bad. I mean, if you're doing that, it's awesome. God likes that too. But, you know, holiness actually comes from this ancient Hebrew word, kadash, to be set apart from something. Kadash means to be distinct or not of something else. And so when it says in the Bible, God is kadash, it means God is set apart. What it means is he's not like you and me. He's holy. He's different. And when Jesus says, I want you to be holy like God is holy, he's saying, I want you to be kadosh. I want you to be set apart. I don't want you to be like the 50 percentile people stuck in the boat. I don't want you to be like, you know, everybody who's like settling for mediocrity. I want you to rise above that. I want you to be distinct. I want you to be different. And see, here's the thing. Why did Peter step out of the boat? We have to ask that question, right? What was it that he wanted that caused him to be willing to step out? You know why he stepped out of the boat? It's because Jesus, he wanted to get to where Jesus was. Jesus wasn't in the boat. God's not in the boat. I mean, God is never in the place of safety. He's always out where there's risk and adventure. Second big idea, bravery requires community. All right, if you're going to get brave over these next 6 weeks, you're going to have to be in community. You're going to have to be in a place where you have people around you, because when you begin to step out of the 50th percentile, when you begin to step out of mediocrity, when you begin to rise up above what everybody else is doing and whatever it is God puts on your heart to be your heading, then you're going to be in a minority and you're going to need people around you to encourage you. All right, you're going to need community, people who just build into you in the process. Now, I want us to take a look at a really cool story from Laura, who went through last year's Brave Journey. And one of the key components she'll talk about is how she needed her community, people to help her through the storm. So take a look at Laura's Brave story.
As we started last year's Brave Journey, I didn't really have any particular intentions. I just wanted to get outside myself a little, being a part of a life group and another journey at Cross Point. Last year, my heading was to start a cupcake shop. Initially, it was just to start my cupcake business, period. But as I went through the journey, I started to realize that that was kind of limiting myself and giving into my fears, being afraid to really put myself out there and take a risk and live boldly for Christ. Well, I mean, everybody has fears, but this fear was particularly financial. It's always kind of hard to realize that God will provide for you, and I think that we're raised kind of thinking that we need to be cautious of our spending, and that just played into my anxieties about, you know, bankrupting my family and doing something risky that wouldn't be easy. And then I just discovered that God has a greater plan for me. The name of the shop is Nerdy Girl Cupcakes. I chose the name because it was the most authentically me. I looked at a lot of different names, and some of them were maybe a little bit better on the marketing side, but Nerdy Girl was who I was. Nerdy to me is somebody who's really knowledgeable and passionate about a subject. And so Nerdy Girl was the biggest way for me to show that I could be great. The storms that set in as a part of the journey are still happening. But probably some of the early ones were that it was really difficult to find a location for the shop. I originally was looking downtown in the Fountain Square area because it was really cool, but when demographics came back, it became clear that I wasn't going to be able to sustain a business there, at least not to start. So I kept looking, and I went to different location after location, and there's issues in each one. When I finally found this location, it had taken me almost an entire year of searching. I ended up with bronchitis and in the ER because I couldn't breathe right amidst the time that I needed to be calling 8 different people a day, and I had to be going to multiple meetings a day. Not being able to do what I love while I'm making a business to do what I love. So much of it is paperwork and legal stuff and rules and stuff that I just have to get taken care of before I can even start, and that can be a little disheartening, and it can also put some distance between me and my heading and make me feel like, why am I really doing this? But I think that the point is just to continue onward and remind myself that it's all in God's time. Stepping out of my safety zone would be when I have to put stuff out there to let people know that things are coming, because that then makes me committed. And if I fail, then it's publicly. Everybody will know that it didn't work out, or the timing didn't happen, or my opening date didn't happen. It's something that once I put it out there, I can't take back. I just have to live with consequences, and that is terrifying. Our grand opening is going to be October 29th. It's pretty exciting, but it's also really frightening because it's our first big reveal to the community. It's been amazing so far to see what people did from our last community group and see what they accomplished and what they've done and watch it continue forward.
Hey man, let's hear it for Nerdy Girl Cupcakes. How about that, man? 2 weeks, grand opening because Laura, you know what she did? She took a step. She took a step, and she had community around her. This is so important. See, Peter is the only one that goes, right? I mean, I don't know what the excuses of the other 11 weenies in the boat were. I mean, I don't know what they were in there for. I don't know what, you know, but the Apostle Peter, now here's what's interesting about the Apostle Peter. If you're hearing my voice right now, whether on the podcast or here, you've probably heard the name the Apostle Peter. In fact, anybody not ever heard of the Apostle Peter in some way, shape, or form? Yeah, all of us. We've all heard that, right? But see, here's the thing. I bet you could name 6 or 7 of the other disciples, right? I mean, you couldn't probably name 8 of them, right? You're like, oh, yeah, there's John. I know him and James. And, oh, yeah, Judas. That loser, that rat bastard. He totally sold Jesus out. There's Judas. You know, but you don't know the rest of them, right? You don't know who they are. See, the difference is Peter's the one that got out of the boat. Peter's the one, he steps, he moves, he does something, and we don't know what the rest are doing. They probably have excuses. They may not be good ones, but they probably have excuses, right? And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking about community, man. You're like, come on, Kurt, I am not a small group person. I hear that from my friends all the time. Some of my friends, people I invite to CrossPoint, you know, I'm like, man, come to our group. They're like, oh, man. They sometimes take 2 or 3 years, and then they get into our group, and they're there for like a week or two, and they're like, oh, my word, I can't believe I've been missing out on this. They thought it was a Bible study. It's not a Bible study. It's getting behind each other as we're growing. And you probably have reasons. You're like, I don't need that. You do. You need this. See, there's going to be a very clear line during this journey between those who get maximum impact out of the journey, like Laura, and people who just have a nice experience. All right? You're like, oh, that's nice. It was nice. You know, there's going to be enormous difference because those who get in a group are going to get traction, and you're going to go places that everybody else isn't going to go. All right, and so, you know, I can't guarantee you that if you get in a group, it's going to be awesome. Your group's going to be awesome. Now, my group's always awesome, but I don't know if yours is. All right, I can't guarantee that, but I can guarantee you that I tell you what, if you're not in a group, you're going to miss out on a lot of the growth and learnings that other people are going to be having. And we have all the reasons, right? We have all the excuses why we don't want to get into a group. I think they're probably the same reasons the disciples didn't want to get out of the boat, right? I mean, Peter, right? Peter's like stepping out. He's like holding on. He's like, all right, Jesus, I'm out of the boat. I'm coming out to where you are. All right, Jesus, I'm trying again. I mean, just imagine Peter, right? He's like, I've never done this. I've got both my feet out, one hand still hanging on. And all of a sudden, he starts walking, right? I mean, the other weenies, I think these guys, like, when I get to heaven someday, they're going to be waiting at the gates for me. They're like, you're always like, you know, hammering on us weenies in the boat. They're like, you're no different, Kurt. You'd be in the boat. I might be. I don't know. You know, they're back here. Andrew's probably going, all right, Peter, you know, I'd come. I'd be out there with you, but I'm not sure my insurance policy has water damage on it. You know, I got to hang on. You know, I don't know. John was probably going, you know, Jesus, I'd get out there with you. I'd get into a small group, but, you know, I go to bed early, and so do my kids. All right, live a little. All right, live a little, John. You know, Andrew's probably in there. He's probably another one going, oh, man, my kids, they're in travel sports. All right, figure it out. All right, figure it out. There's groups during the day. I mean, they had all the reasons. Peter's the one that actually steps out, and he goes to a new place. And see, here's the other thing about Peter that's fascinating to me. So I think Peter, when he stands up and he begins to step over the side and the other 11 are sitting there watching him, I think that he's, in a sense, saying, I want to rise above everybody else. I want to rise above where I've been before, the places I've been, the same old same. I want to get to an entirely new place. And I think that's what he's doing. And I have to think that, you know, when he starts to move, when he steps over the side of the boat and begins to walk toward Jesus, I think the other 11 are actually sitting right there, and they're going, Peter, you can do it, Peter. Come on, Peter, go, go, go. Peter, you can do it. Walk to Jesus. You can get there. See, I think they're right there behind him, cheering him on. I think they're there moving him to a new place. See, we can't go forward on our own. We need people in our community. We need to be in a community where we have people building into us as we take brave steps. See, this myth of the rugged American individualism, that's what it is. It's a myth. Right? One is too small a number for greatness. Right? You need to be in a community. You need to get into your app right now. I don't care if you do it right now. Pop it open. Find a group if you're not in a group. So Peter answers Jesus in verse 28. It says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. My goodness. Third point, bravery requires direction. Bravery requires direction. All right, let me be really clear here for a moment. See, bravery and fearlessness are not the same thing, all right? Fearlessness requires that you're missing some neural connections, all right? Some neural connections, they're just not happening. And, you know, fearlessness is like an adrenaline rush where you're addicted to adrenaline all the time. I mean, fearlessness is kind of when we're sometimes like, well, I don't care about my life. I don't have anything going on. I'm a loser. Wouldn't matter if I'm here or not. So I'm going to be fearless. You know, that's not bravery, all right? Bravery is where you have something in front of you you're going after, and you're going to have to take a step that you've never taken before to get there, all right? See, going for a stupid thrill, that's not bravery, all right? For instance, bungee jumping. We were out west at the Grand Canyon last year, saw a group bungee jumping off of a bridge, you know, and they dip their head into the water. That's what bungee jumping is. They dip down and then come back up. Man, listen, after watching that, you will never find me bungee jumping, all right? I saw that. I'm not fearless, all right? I have a pretty high quotient of bravery in my life, but I am not fearless, you know, because I'm like, why would I do that? What's the point of that? I mean, I don't get why, you know, so I can like, you know, like my testicles can end up in my throat and then I come back up. I mean, what's the point? You know, I don't get it. And if you bungee jump, that's totally cool, man. You may be like missing a few neuroconnectors or something. I don't know. But you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that, you know, Peter, he risks something because there's a point. Because there's a goal. There's a place he wants to get. All right? He's going after something. You're going to have all kinds of learnings as we go through this next week. And you're going to need the CrossPoint app. In fact, Eric's going to walk you through how to get that here in just a moment. And you're going to need to get in and do the homework. There's homework to do each week that kind of help you identify what your next step is. This week, we're going to identify our heading. And so you're going to go through a process of kind of answering some questions. It's going to help you figure out what's the thing God may be nudging me to get after and begin to pursue. All right? It may be something you know about. It may be something that you're totally not aware of. All right, and for those of you who were part of the Brave Journey last year, if you're just like, well, I already did that. No, you didn't. I mean, there's something new. God has always got something new for you. All right, see, this is not a general study on brave. This is what's the specific thing right now in my occupation, in my marriage, in my finances, in my relationship with God, in my business. What is the thing God's wooing you to that he's nudged your heart on and you've just not taken the step yet? And when you take the step, it's going to require bravery. And you know, when you take the step, see, Jesus didn't come and just sit in the boat with the disciples. All right, see, Jesus wasn't in the boat. He was out. All right, he calls them to something new, not to stay where they are. Which leads to the last point. Bravery leads us to the hand of God. Bravery leads us to the hand of God. It says, so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. And when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So, I mean, Peter's hanging on to the boat, right? He's hanging on. He's trying to get his footing. All right, I've never done this before. I've never been out here before. And he begins to, you know, disconnect from the boat. He begins to reach out to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, I think I'm ready. I'm going to take a step. And he begins to walk. And what does he experience? He begins to get wind. He begins to get waves. He begins to have sea spray in his face. And he's never experienced this before. You know why? Because when you're in the boat, you're protected from this. Right? The boat shields you from the wind and the waves and the sea spray. But see, he steps out, and he begins to go toward Jesus, and he begins to see the wind and feel the wind and see the spray, and it's hitting him in the face, and all of a sudden, he begins to sink, and he says a simple little prayer. He says, God, save me. God, rescue me. And Jesus reaches out his hand, and he lifts him up, reaches out his hand, and he elevates him. See, what's fascinating about this is Peter had never been there before. But it was in that very moment when he said, Lord, save me, that he actually experiences the very hand of God. Now, when I used to teach this story, I'd always make fun of Peter. I'd be like, oh, man, poor Peter. Look at Peter, man. He didn't have any faith, you know. I mean, I was always picking on Peter, and you know, it sees the wind, he sees the waves, he gets scared. Jesus is so close, and he can't get to him. But guess what? Peter's the one that moved, right? Peter's the one that got out of the boat. All the other guys are still sitting in there. And here's the thing. Do we really think Jesus was upset with him? So many times we're like, we think Jesus is condemning him right there when he's like, oh, Peter, why'd you doubt? I don't think Jesus is condemning him. I don't think that at all. I don't think Jesus was disappointed at all. Peter's actually going after his brave thing. He's actually going out trying to get to where Jesus is because he's never been in that place before. And he actually gets to feel the very hand of God reach down and lift him up. Reach down and lift him up. See, the hand of God does not come to those who are just sitting in the boat. The hand of God does not come to those who are just operating in the 50th percentile. The hand of God doesn't come to those who you know, are just hanging out in the safety harbor. No, read the Bible. Read the whole Bible, the whole thing. The hand of God comes to those who are taking a risk. Those who God calls to come do something in some way through your profession, your family, whatever it might be, and you take a brave step, and the hand of God actually meets you right there. See, some of us, we're doing the passive thing. We're like, well, I think God just wants me to be happy. I think that's what he wants for me. I mean, why is everything going wrong in my life? I don't know. Do something risky and see if you don't experience the hand of God. Verse 32, it says, when they got in the boat, so now Jesus gets in the boat. Notice this is the only time Jesus gets in the boat. All right, it's not, he didn't come to like hang out in the boat with him. Peter has to step out. He elevates Peter, lifts him up, and then it says Jesus gets in the boat. And when he got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So here's the thing. If you want more and more of God's presence in your life, if you want more and more of God's power in your life, you got to get out of the freaking boat. All right, you got to move. You got to do something to say, God, I want it. I'm showing you that I'm taking a step. I've never been here before, but I'm going to do something I've never done because I know that when I do, that's when your power and presence begins to show up. God, I want to pray that you help us take that step this week. God, for those of us right now who are questioning, you know, wrestling through, am I going to get in a small group? Am I going to do the homework? God, I just pray that you move us. Help us to get a clear sense of what that thing is you're calling us toward, that you maybe want to take us to, that's different, that's new, that gets us in an entirely different place, our family in a different place. And God, I know that there's going to be some change spiritually that happens in our lives. I know there's going to be things change relationally, things change financially. And God, I know these things are going to change, not just because you're going to do something about it, but it's going to come to those who are willing to step out onto the water, that are willing to step out and try something new. In fact, God, just help us process our personal heading right now. Let's just start right there. Let's just think to ourselves in our mind. God, we want to listen to you right now. Maybe you're going to nudge us or give us some intelligible thing that we can begin to think about in our mind. What is that thing you're calling us to? What is that heading that you want to draw us to right now?
Burn the ships. That is like legendary statement right there. That's like something you see in a movie. Burn the ships because we're not going back the way we came. Pretty gutsy statement, and for many of us, we hear that and say, well, somebody in the movie could say that, but I couldn't say that. But this is what it means to be brave. And so on the back of your connection card, there's some next steps that really tie into the rhythm of this journey, of this brave journey. So take a look at the back of your card. First part of the rhythm of this, and I hope, my prayer is that there'll be more than just one next step for you. Not only today and this week, but over these next few weeks, that you'll fully engage in these next steps in the rhythm of this journey. But the first step is just being here on a Sunday morning. If you're going to be in town, there's not a family emergency, we encourage you that if you want to get the most out of this journey, to be here each week over these next 6 weeks. So congratulations, you've done that today. You've taken that first step in this journey. Next step, if you want maximum impact, if you want maximum growth, if you want to get the most out of this experience, then you need to get into a Brave Journey group. So, There's an online group tool that will help you get into one of these groups. Through the Crosspoint app, you can go and you can search all the different groups. If you look at the Brave Journey link at the top of the Crosspoint app, you can click on that. There's a place where you can search groups. You can see all the different locations, the days of the week that they meet, the neighborhoods. You can even see the faces associated with the people that are going to be hosting these groups. You can also go to our website or go to this link, brave.crosspointweb.org, and you can sign up that way as well. Again, you can see those groups there. Click on the Search Groups button. And if it's easier for you, we've got a couple of iPads that we'll have out at Connection Point. If you'd like to, before you leave today, you can go over one of those iPads. You can search the groups. I'll be there. If you need any suggestions, I'd be happy to help you get into a group. I think it's so important to not let this day end without you getting into a group. As a matter of fact, there are some groups that begin tonight, and so you could jump into a group as early as today if you want to. Now, whether you're a host or someone just participating in a group, everybody needs to download the Crosspoint app, okay? Download the Crosspoint app. You can go through the Google Store. You can go through the Apple Store. Download the Crosspoint app. Look for Crosspoint Fishers and look for the Crosspoint logo and get that. You need to have that app, because if you did the Brave Journey last year and go, well, I still have that app on my phone, it's not that, okay? That app is not going to work this year. You're going to access everything you need, whether for your group or for your individual homework, through the Crosspoint app. Now, if you have that already on your phone, make sure it's updated, that you have the most current edition of the Crosspoint app, because we want to make sure that you have the most updated information in there, too. And this is where you're going to find your weekly homework in there, okay? And so between now and the first time your group meets, there's going to be 7 levels of homework that you need to go through. So if you're meeting later today, or you're meeting tomorrow, you have some work to do. This week is some pretty easy stuff to go through. It's not going to take you a long time, but believe me, it's going to be worth it, okay? So not only get into your group, not only download that app, but make sure you go through that homework for your Brave group meets this week. And for some of us, being brave might mean being baptized, and you'll have an opportunity to do that. Maybe for whatever reason you've never been baptized, you've never taken this next important step. Maybe the culmination of this journey for you, for God to take you to a new place, is to be baptized. So on November 20th, the last day of the journey, you'll have an opportunity to be baptized. If that's something you're interested in, you can mark the back of your connection card. So you've got your orders, right? Get into a group, download the Crosspoint app, begin levels 1 through 7, Crosspoint Brave Journey homework. Do that in the app. We really believe that this can be one of the most impactful, amazing experiences of your entire life. Part of the Brave Journey is maybe taking that first brave step and going along and saying, I'm going to engage in this over these next 6 weeks. So before we get out of here, PJ and the band have one more song for us, but this is a reminder that whether you're afraid about this journey or you walked in today having one of the toughest weeks of your life, it would be helpful to have someone pray with you today. As others exit after this last song, you can just stay in your seat. A member of our prayer team would be happy to come by and pray with you. So stand with me right now. PJ and the band are going to lead us in this song, talking about how God's got a plan for each and every one of us. It's going to be wild. It's going to be great. We just need to come away with it.